The first reading is taken from Acts 4, verses 5 to 12, and can be found on 1095 of the Pew Bibles. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness showed to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone that builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18, on page 1076 in the Bible. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you, Yvonne. Just pray for Ian now. We just thank you for the words you've laid on his heart this week, Lord. And make this talk about no other name resonate deep within us. And maybe take it home for us today and hold on to it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew, and thank you, Julie and Yvonne, for those readings. In this Easter season, period particularly between Easter and Pentecost, we're going through the early chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, giving priority actually to that first reading, the reading from Acts, hearing how the apostles gave testimony to the risen Jesus. So just for a change, the readings from the Gospels are actually a support act, and it's the reading from Acts which are really the keynote reading. And here in Acts 4, Peter and John, that famous double act who ran to the tomb on Easter day and found it empty, Peter and John are in the Jerusalem temple. They heal the crippled beggar at the Gate Beautiful. And then Peter boldly tells the crowd about Jesus. The Jewish authorities don't like that. They arrest them and question them. But Peter and John don't seem intimidated at all. Luke tells us in verse 8 that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, who gives them courage and boldness. And so Peter doesn't hold back. Know this, he says. It's Jesus, it's not us. Jesus, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead. Peter even quotes from the Psalms, Jesus is the stone that you builders rejected. He has become the capstone. That's fierce, isn't it? And don't forget, this is a Galilean fisherman from the backwoods in the north, who's lecturing the high priest and the other priests and teachers of the law, the leaders of the Jewish religion and the Jewish council. After our reading, Luke notes that the Jewish leaders were astonished at the courage of Peter and John and noted that they had been with Jesus. Noted that that must be the source of their courage and boldness. And Peter concludes with this strong claim. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. No other name. No one else can save us. Not Caesar, not Moses, not any other future Messiah. Now, we like to think, don't we, that all roads lead to heaven. It sounds kind and generous, doesn't it? At funerals, we hear things like, oh, he's in heaven, smiling down on us. My niece, actually, has become a Buddhist, and I don't want to be rude to her. Many of us know Muslims or Hindus, or even agnostics who are unsure about God, or atheists who believe that there is no God at all. And we like to think, wouldn't we, that they'd all be treated kindly by God and get to heaven. But Peter is very clear. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And don't forget who it is he's speaking to. It's the Jewish High Council, the priests and leaders of the Jewish religion who don't believe in Jesus. When we claim that there is only one way, Jesus, are we being arrogant? Are we being prejudiced against other religions? Well, look at it like this. If it were a competition between people, me saying I'm better than you are or something like that, or between human organisations, you know, my church or religion is better than your church or religion, if it was like that, then that might be a fair criticism. But here's the thing, it's not actually about us. It's about Jesus. It's always about Jesus and him alone. It's not us who are better than others, it's Jesus. So the secret is to focus on him, on Jesus. Now, we might start out by thinking, as the Jews did, that Jesus was just another bloke, just another wandering teacher. But as we read the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles, as we hear what Jesus said and did, we gradually grasp that here is someone who's on a different level to anyone else. He did things that no one else had ever done. He gave sight to a man blind from birth. They said at the time, that has never been known before. He cast out the strongest demons that they had no power over. He even raised the dead. He spoke about God with an authority that nobody else had. The things he claimed about himself were just so astonishing, so amazing. The big question is, were they true? Let me quote C.S. Lewis. I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing that we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he's a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Now, it seems to me obvious, says C.S. Lewis, that he was neither a lunatic nor a fiend. And consequently, however strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, I have to accept the view that he was and is God. C.S. Lewis started out as an atheist, but was convinced by the claims of Jesus. Peter said, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." One example of that strong language is in our gospel reading from John chapter 10. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Those "I am" sayings, the phrase "I am" was actually the name of God, which no Jew was allowed to utter. Jesus takes the name of God on his lips and says, "I am the good shepherd." Now, they knew all about good and bad shepherds. Sheep were everywhere in Israel in those days. And it was also a familiar image of caring for people. We all know Psalm 23, don't we? "The Lord is my shepherd." They also knew Ezekiel chapter 34, where the prophet rails against the Jewish leaders of the time because they were not looking after their people. They were like shepherds who did not care for their sheep. And God says in Ezekiel that he, God, will do the work that they're not doing, that he will be the good shepherd in place of the Jewish leaders who are bad shepherds. And Jesus clearly has this in mind when he talks about the hired hand who abandons the sheep and runs away when danger threatens. It's an implied criticism of the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day. "But I won't abandon my sheep," says Jesus. "In fact, I will lay down my life for my sheep." Jesus is claiming to be the good shepherd of God. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew that the cross was on its way. And he not only went willingly, but even more strongly than that, he went with purpose and authority. He said in our gospel reading, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Strong words. And then finally, in verse 16 of our second reading, Jesus alludes to non-Jews, like most of us, who will also be saved. He says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." Now again, it's slightly tempting to think from this that everybody gets to heaven, what the experts call universalism. But Jesus doesn't actually say everybody. He simply says other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. He also says they will listen to my voice. So they still need to follow Jesus, the good shepherd. Peter was right to say that there is no other name. Only with Jesus can we be saved. You still might ask, but how about those from other cultures, those who've never heard of Jesus? Well, it's a very good question, and we don't really know the answer, yes or no. I think the question, it kind of assumes that God will apply some very, very rigid standard of judgment, Whereas we, well, we would be much more understanding and kind, wouldn't we? But in fact, we're talking about the God who made every living person and loves them more than we know, and who's a more understanding and merciful judge than we will ever be. So if we can trust anybody to get this right, we can trust our God. But what about us? Well, we have heard of Jesus, haven't we? So we need to pay attention to the words of the Apostle Peter. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And pay attention to the words of Jesus. I am the Good Shepherd. Amen.